Good morning. Just a little over 4 years ago was the first time I stood in this pulpit, and at least on this regular basis, today is the last. And I want you to know that Renee and I are deeply thankful for our time here. And consider all of you our family, and you always will be, no matter where we're at. And as I thought about, what do you say? You know, hopefully in the future I'll get another chance to be with you and speak to you. But what do you say if it's your last time to speak to your brothers and sisters? And there were a lot of different things that came to my mind. But I thought, not much could be better than what the Apostle Paul chose to speak to those that he loved deeply when he called the elders of the church at Ephesus to meet him in Miletus in Acts chapter 20. And so I want us to read this passage today and think about some things that he said to them. We're going to begin in verse 17. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." He said, "You know how I was with you." And you know. And I only hope that in some small way I've reflected the same attitude and the same service that Paul reflected with his work in Ephesus. He was with them just over 3 years, working with that church, and probably the longest he was with any church during his work. And he had developed a great love for them, and they had developed a great love for him. He said in verse 19 that he was serving the Lord. I hope that everything, I pray that everything that I have done and said in my time here has shown you that I have been serving the Lord and trying to serve you. Paul, I think, has done a better job than I have. I can't say with Paul that I feel innocent in everything. I know that there are things that I could have done better, and I ask your forgiveness for that, and I'm thankful for your patience during the time that I've been able to be with you. But I hope that some of the things that we've been able to do together have been profitable. He said, "I'm serving the Lord with all humility," and I pray to God that every time that we have been together that I've reflected the right attitude. And if I haven't, I hope that you will talk to me about it. Because I want to ask your forgiveness and I want to set things right. But I have no reason not to be humble. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. And I'm continuing to be changed by Jesus as I learn from Him, as we all are. So I hope I've never come across as someone with all the answers or someone that is doing everything right, because I'm not. And I think you know that and you've seen that. But I'm thankful for every time we've been able to be together. He said that he faced trials through the plots of the Jews. Well, I don't know about anybody plotting against me. I haven't ever felt like that or seen anything like that. So I'm thankful that I haven't experienced a lot of the things that Paul had to experience in his work. But that doesn't mean we haven't faced challenges in our time together, dealing with different situations and different people. And I hope that I have persevered. And I hope that there hasn't been anything that I've let go that should have been dealt with. And along that same line, he says in verse 20, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house." Like I said, I hope that I have come across humble and a learner, just like we all are. But at the same time, I hope that I have never shrunk back from saying anything. I hope that my teaching has reflected that I was ready to say what needed to be said in every situation. And I know a couple of times that some of you have said, "Well, you stepped on my toes today." Well, that's because I had already stepped on my toes, and I figured somebody else's toes had been to the same place that mine has. So you probably need it. That's where most of my lessons come from, is looking at things that I need in my own life. But I don't think that I've shrunk from saying what needed to be said. I hope that that is the case. He said, in public and from house to house. You know, as I thought about that passage, I thought about our men's studies and the good things that we've studied. Studying the book of James, we started out with. We studied about different religious error. We studied 1 Timothy. We studied the book, almost to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. I wish we had just started at the end, because that's a lot easier than the stuff that we've gone through already. But anyways, so y'all keep on with that. But I'm thankful for all of those studies. It's been a good time to be together. I was thinking about the time that the parents, we gathered in this room for several weeks and studied about parenting and what God says about that. And I'm thankful for our time together in doing that. And other times when we've gotten together in small groups and other studies. And I hope that it has all been beneficial to you. He said in verse 21 that he testified both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It would have been easy for Paul or Peter, any of the apostles, to show partiality. There was a lot of anger on the part of the Jews when Gentiles started becoming Christians. And it would have been easy for them to shrink back from that. And it's easy for preachers sometime to not say what needs to be said or deal with situations because maybe it's a particular person or a particular situation that would just rock the boat too much. But I hope that I have been impartial in everything, in every relationship, and in every aspect of my work. He was going to Jerusalem. He knew what lay in his path. He knew he was going to be arrested. And he had work to do even through that. Well, I don't plan on getting arrested in Birmingham or anywhere else. If it has to be, it has to be. But the Spirit hasn't told me that, and I don't think He's going to. But I do continue my ministry, and I know that you have to continue your work here. And again, I'm not leaving because I'm upset with anybody. I'm not leaving because I don't think it's worth it here anymore. I think you're worth more than me, more than my life. And I'm going because I think that this is what is best for both of us. And I believe that good things will continue to happen here, and I pray that is the case. But he moves on in verse 28, and he begins talking about, talking directly to the elders. And yes, this is a message to the elders at the church at Ephesus, and no, they're not elders here. But I want you to think about something about elders. For the most part, the work of elders is really the work of every Christian. Elders are men who have accepted the responsibility of being put up front, of being an example, of leading the way. And so I think all the things that Paul says to the elders here are the responsibility of every man and woman in this congregation. And so I think the things that he says to the elders there are some things that I want to share with you in this last lesson of being with you. He says in verse 28, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which He obtained with the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears." You know, the first thing he starts with in verse 28 is he reminds them of the importance of every Christian. There is no one in this room. There is no one in this room that is more important to Jesus than anybody else. And if nobody is more important to Jesus, then nobody should be more important to us. He says, the church of God, all the flock, has been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we are all blood-bought sheep, then we are all important in the eyes of God. Never lose sight of that. Never let any person here slip through the cracks. If someone's not here, find out why they're not here. If someone seems to be getting further away, talk to them about it. If someone is doing something sinful, then face it. Deal with it. Help them. Everyone is important, and we need to remember that. Each sheep is blood bought. And in verses 29 through 30, he said, "I know fierce wolves are going to come in among you." I don't know. He probably knew that by inspiration. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that if you look in the Bible, and if you look at the history of God's people, when things are going well, Satan pounces on that. Satan is depicted as a lion in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And get on the Discovery Channel or go online and look at a video of a lion pouncing on his prey. And really, any type of feline does this kind of thing. They crouch down, they sneak, they hide. And when the prey thinks they're safe, when they're just eating nonchalant, that's when the cat pounces on its prey. And like I said here, and I've said several times, I think things are going good. Many of you have grown, and I think you're going to continue to grow. But I join with Paul in saying, be alert. Watch out. Because that's the time when Satan likes to pounce. When Satan likes to find his back door and sneak his way in and steal the sheep away. And so if every sheep is important, then you need to be watchful for every one of your brothers and sisters, and watchful for the congregation as a whole. How does Satan do this? Well, he says in verse 30, even among the elders, men were going to arise speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. One way Satan may pounce is through false teaching. And you need to be on the alert for that. You need to be watchful, especially when there's not elders that are particularly watching for the teaching efforts of the congregation. Everybody needs to be thoughtful about all the teaching that's going on and make sure that it's fruitful and beneficial, and especially that it's not false or twisted. But I want to tell you another way that sneaks in against many congregations. Many congregations are watchful for the false teaching. And I think about this especially with the church at Ephesus. You know, Paul told them this, you know, watch out for the ones that are going to rise up and speak twisted things. And several years later, when we get to Revelation chapter 2, one of the first churches that Jesus writes to is the church at Ephesus. And you know what they're doing good at? They're doing good at calling out the false teachers, at not allowing twisted things to get in the congregation. But you know what he says? Jesus says, I have this against you. You've left your first love. And as we said in our class on Revelation, that could mean many things. But a couple of things I really do think it means that we can get so caught up in, you know, are we teaching the right things? Are we watching out for those things that we're doing it just because it's the things that we've always believed, and it's not out of our love for God. It's really just out of love for what we've always done. And Ephesus had always called out those false teachers, and they were still doing it, but they didn't have the love for God that they needed to. And another good possibility of what it means is yeah, they were watching out for the false teaching, but they weren't watching out for one another. They weren't loving one another. And people can come in, and maybe even people that are already here. Things can develop. And you can bite and devour one another. And there could be no false teaching going on at all, but it's just animosity, wrong attitudes going on among Christians. And that can destroy a congregation just like false teaching can. And so be alert for all of these things. Satan wants to steal every sheep away. And so you've got to be watchful for it. And this work is not convenient. It's not easy. It's not short term. Look at again at what he says in verse 31. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Paul, he didn't just get to get up. For him, preaching was not a 9-to-5 job. And it's not today either. And the work of elders is not a 9-to-5 job. And in reality, the work of every Christian is not a 9-to-5 job. There are things that need your attention at all times. You need to create a culture of approachability, so that if a Christian has a problem, if it's in the middle of the night, he knows there's someone here that he or she can call and talk to. And you're ready to wake up. You're ready to listen. Because every person here is important to one another here. Day and night, Paul worked. He said with tears. There are going to be some tough situations. There are going to be other things. You've faced some already, and you're going to face some again in the future. But be ready. Serving God is not convenient, it's not easy, and it's not just a one-time thing. It's a lifetime of commitment. It's a lifetime of working through the struggles of our brothers and sisters and our own struggles and trying to help each other get to heaven. Look in verse 33. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those that were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If we want growth, if you want growth in this congregation, continued growth, if you want joy, if you want the blessings of the Lord, one thing that the Bible is clear about, one thing that that Jesus said in many different ways, is that we have to empty ourselves to become full of His blessings. And this congregation needs to be made up of people that have emptied themselves, so that you're not seeking to your own good, but you're seeking the benefit of the person next to you. You're seeking the benefit of every man and woman and child here. Paul had the right to ask for support in his preaching work. But in a couple of places, he chose not to do that. He gave up what was his right. He sacrificed what he could have said, well, you owe that to me. And we need to learn to have that same attitude. He did it for his brothers and sisters. What are you willing to give up for your brothers and sisters, to serve them, to watch out for them, to help them? What are you not willing to give up for them? Maybe that's the better question we all need to ask ourselves. Are we willing to do what the Son of God did before us and emptied Himself to save us? Because the thought, the joy of reconciling us to God was enough for Him to say, I'll sacrifice it all. Is the thought, the joy of helping others get to heaven enough for you to sacrifice it for others? Guard yourselves and all the flock. He says in verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What is going to help those Ephesian elders do this? What is going to help this congregation achieve these things? I commend you to God and to His word. And in reality, he's kind of repeating the same thing. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. When we study the Bible, we shouldn't just be thinking, well, we're coming to this book that's called the Bible. We should be thinking we're coming to the Word of God. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians, he said what helped them to grow, what helped them to be the congregation that he was praising them for, he said, because you didn't accept our teaching as the word of men. You accepted it as what it really is, the word of God. When they read the scriptures, it was God speaking to them. And when we read the scriptures, that's how we need to think about it. Look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If you want this congregation to continue to grow, if you want the blessings of the Lord, that's the attitude we have to have about the Word of God. You cannot do this by your own wisdom. You have to say, it's not about what I think. It's not about what I want. But in every situation, it needs to be, what does the Lord say? What does He want us to do with this? And if we have that attitude, continue reading verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose. It shall exceed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Isaiah was telling the people, if you want the blessings of the Lord, then you need to turn to His Word. You need to commit yourself fully and completely to the Word of God. And this congregation needs to continue to commit yourselves fully and completely to the Word of God. In everything. It's not about what you've always heard. It's not about what you've heard from me or any other preacher. It's not about what anybody else believes here. It's not about what you think will work. It's about what God says, what He wants, and what God says will work. We have to believe that. And so Paul says, I commend you to God and to His Word. If you as individual Christians are in the Word, you will be built up. He said the Word is able to build you up. If you are in the Word, you will be built up. I promise you that. You will be stronger. You will be able to face temptations. And if no one else in this congregation does it, you as individuals make the decision, I will be in the Word. I will be built up. I will be the one that God can use. If you are in the Word and you're being built up, then you will be able to build others up. It's not about young and old. It's not about how long you've been a Christian. It's about how committed you are to God. And if you are giving yourself to the Word, if you're learning, if you're being built up, then God can use you. And He can use you to build this congregation up. Don't be dependent upon preachers to do the building up. In Ephesians 4, in verse 11, it says that Jesus gave some as apostles and prophets, some as evangelists and shepherds and teachers to help, to serve. We're servants. We're aides, but you yourself have to be committed to the Word. Take advantage of the help that you have from preachers or elders or whoever. But you yourself have to be committed. Don't be dependent upon preachers. If you're in the Word, you will be built up. If you are in the Word, you will be able to build others up. And if a congregation is in the Word, they will be unified and strong. Doesn't mean you're going to agree on every issue all the time. You've always got people at different spiritual maturity levels. But if you're in the Word and you're committed to the Word, you have that basis to be unified and to be strong. And whatever you're talking about, whatever you're working on at the time, you know that the foundation is Jesus and His Word, and that will get you where you need to be. And so, with Paul, I commend you to God and to His Word. Turn back with me to Acts chapter 20, and let's read verse 36. Through the end of the chapter. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. I'm so thankful that God saw fit to bring us together and that we could work together the past 4 years. I pray God's blessings upon every one of you in this congregation. And I look forward that we can work together some more while we are still here on this earth. But more than anything, I look forward to us being together in heaven. Love God. Love one another. Be in the Word. That'll get us where we want to be. Love God. Love one another. Be in the Word. Let's pray together. Our holy God in heaven, we bow before your eternal throne with thankful hearts. Thankful most of all for Jesus Christ, that though we were sinners, we had made ourselves your enemies. You loved us so deeply that you sent your Son to save us from our sins. That he emptied himself. He did not say, I'm the Son of God. I don't have to do this. He said, I'm the Son of God and I love you deeply. And we're thankful for your love. We're thankful for His sacrifice. And we're thankful that it brought us to You. And we're thankful that it brought us together. We're thankful for the time we've had together to work together. We pray Your blessings on the work here. May it continue to grow. May You help them to appoint shepherds over this congregation to lead them. May You be with Joe as he comes to work here. And bless his work and bless their work together. Pray that You be with my family and continue with us. And bless us as You have done here with the work that we go to now. We pray, Father, that You will help us every day to have the love for You that we should, to love one another, to be alert and watchful for one another, and to find ourselves in the Word of God, Your Word, every day. Please forgive us of our sins. Help us to recognize where we failed You, to repent, and to give ourselves more fully to You today than we have in the past. In Jesus' most holy and blessed name, we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus shed His blood that you could be forgiven of your sins and reconciled to God. If you will confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, if you'll repent of your sins, you can be baptized into Him this morning and be a part of His family. Maybe you're a Christian here and maybe you need prayers. And we're here. We're here to encourage you. As we've said this morning already, we love everyone. We want you to be a part of our family. We want to help people get to heaven and help each other. So if we can help you to become a Christian this morning by being baptized into Jesus, or if we can pray for you and encourage you, we ask that you come now as we sing this song.